last day, or the book of Ephesians. Among the 13 books that Paul has written, Ephesians is the best one. Okay? Ephesians is the masterpiece of what Paul has written, because he was in the prison, and he had a lot of time with our Lord Jesus Christ. He quieted himself, and that is his masterpiece. So today I'm going to give you a conclusion from chapter 1 to chapter 6 of what we're going to get, and make sure we get. And I see that. I want to pray first, okay? Our Heavenly Father, we quiet ourselves before you like Mary. Sit by your feet, you listen to what you have to say, and help us to understand completely and what you have spoken to us through your faithful servant Paul. And I pray that you fill us with your Holy Spirit so that we not only understand your will and to do your will, and indeed we will get all this spiritual blessing that Paul has written about. And I pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So I looked through it, I read through it from chapter 1 to chapter 6. I found out that Paul talked about grace at the very beginning, from first to last. I read that to you. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Chapter 1, verse 2. At the end of his writing, chapter 6, verse 23 and 24. Peace to the brother, and love with faith also to the brother, from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. And then he say about grace again, verse 24. Grace to all who love our Lord Jesus Christ with an undying love. So I found out that Paul's writing, from the first to the last, he talked about God's grace from the beginning, and then at the end, he talked about God's grace. The same thing applied to peace, from first to last. And Paul wants us to receive peace from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. He wants all of us to have peace. Brother and sister, when you receive three things, number one, salvation, number two, inheritance, number three, ministry, you will have grace upon grace. You have peace upon peace. I say that one more time. When you can receive your salvation, your inheritance, and your ministry, you not only receive grace, peace from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ, you also receive love and faith from God the Father, from first to the last. So I want to make sure three things when you leave this place, make sure you're going to get it. Number one is salvation. Number two is inheritance. Number three is the ministry, to being able to serve God. So that when God waits us, we receive so much grace, so much peace, so much love, so much faith. He can await us. All this blessing he given to us, how do we respond? We respond to him, you write that down, by our ministry, by our serving to God. Make sure that in the church, you find a place to serve God. these good things and perfect gifts are from God the Father by grace, so that we can get peace, and we can get love, and we can get faith from God. So I talk about number one, salvation is by grace. Inheritance is also by grace. Ministry is also by grace. Make sure that from first to last, you receive all these three blessings: salvation, inheritance, and ministry. Being able to serve God is grace. So I talk about number one, salvation. Salvation by grace. When you have received salvation, that's God's gift to you, it's a perfect gift to you. Then you will have peace, you will have love, you have faith from God and our Lord Jesus Christ. First, salvation, I divide salvation into two parts. Who mentioned that salvation into two parts? Two apostles mentioned that. First is Apostle Paul. Second is Apostle Peter. Apostle Peter, you write down. 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 5, chapter 1 verse 9. But where's Paul? Paul mentioned the salvation are divided into first two parts. The first part is salvation of your soul and salvation of your spirit. You have received salvation of your soul, salvation of your spirit first. That means what King David said in Psalm 23 verse 3, the Lord restore your soul. Restore your soul means restore your spirit. When we sin against God, just like Adam and Eve, our soul and our spirit separate from God. So we are dead spiritually. But when the Lord Jesus Christ restore our soul, He saved your soul first, He saved your spirit first, then once again you have communication with God. Then you start reading the Bible, you start understand the Bible. Before the Lord restore your soul, you have no understanding of the scripture. Even though every word that you understand, but when you put it together, you don't understand. Why? Because Satan attacked you. The evil spirit is in your heart. He darkened your soul. But when the Lord Jesus Christ comes into your body and He restored your soul, then you start understand God's word gradually. Okay? So, I divided salvation into two parts. The first part is at the time when you confess your sins to our Lord Jesus Christ and tell Him that you are my Savior, I'm a sinner before you, I ask you for forgiveness. That is the salvation of your soul, and that's the salvation of your spirit by grace through faith. Second part. Second part is you don't get it now, you will get it at the second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, at the appearance of our Lord Jesus. And that is the salvation of your body. What does it mean by salvation of your body? I want you to write that down. I don't care how godly you are, eventually your body will die. Salvation of your body means you will live forever and ever. Your body will not die, because He gives you a new body, a transformed body, that body in the likeness of our Lord Jesus Christ. Just like Revelation chapter 1 verse 18, Jesus Christ said, "Behold, I was dead, and now I'm alive, and I live forever and ever," because He has a resurrected body. That body will not die. Okay? So we are waiting. We are waiting for the a new body. And that's the salvation of our body. Now go to B. Inheritance. Inheritance is also by grace through faith. If you believe in it, you're going to get it. When you get it, you will have peace, you have love, you have faith from God and our Lord Jesus Christ. So, I talk about inheritance, it's also talk about two parts. One is present, one is future. Salvation, same thing. Present and future. Okay? So, present inheritance. As far as the people Israel is concerned, and God give them a present inheritance. Rescue them from the hand of Pharaoh, from the king of Egypt, and promise them to give them a palace land, a promised land, a land flowing with milk and honey, as far as Israel is concerned. As far as you and I is concerned, we all come from China to Canada, whether Taiwan, Hong Kong, or Vietnam, wherever we come to this land. As far as I'm concerned, I wasn't a believer in Hong Kong, but I come to Canada, I hear the gospel, and to me, that's a promised land. And I come to know Jesus Christ. I thank God for that. So, a lot of our brothers and sisters, when they come to Canada, they have inherited. They buy houses. Okay? Now I talk about future inheritance. Future, there's two kind of inheritance as far as future is concerned. One is in the millennial kingdom on earth. This old earth, old heaven, will be transformed. Okay? According to Isaiah, you write that down, you go home and read that, Isaiah 65. God gonna transform the old heaven and old earth. Same as Ezekiel 47. God gonna transform the old earth and old heaven. And so that we're gonna stay in that place for 1,000 years. Why do we need the millennial kingdom? I tell you why. For those people, especially to the Jewish people, they haven't come to know Jesus Christ yet. And they will suffer during the 7 years of tribulation. And during the 7 years of tribulation, in their pain and suffering, they repent and turn around. Then half of the world population will survive in the 7 years of tribulation of suffering and affliction, and by grace they can enter into the millennial kingdom. That's what it is. Now, as far as the apostle is concerned, in Matthew chapter 19, and Jesus said, whatever you have lost on my behalf by preaching the gospel, whatever you suffer loss in the millennial kingdom, I will give you 100-fold. So we will enter in the millennial kingdom. That is the New Testament teaching. As far as the Old Testament teaching, you write that down. Isaiah chapter 6. Isaiah chapter 9. Isaiah chapter 65, Ezekiel chapter 47, and then you write down Revelation. Then you know what the Old Testament teaching is in conformity with the New Testament teaching. Make sure that whatever you lost, you still have peace, because you get 100 times more than what you have lost. Okay? So there is a millennial kingdom. Because Peter asked Jesus the question, what will we get if we share the gospel? If we have a ministry to serve you? What if I lost my wife, lost my children, lost my property? And Jesus said, I will give you 100-fold. Okay? So there is a millennial kingdom. Now talk about the future inheritance. 3.3, okay? That is a new heaven and new earth for all servants. I did it purposely. For all servants. That means all people who have a ministry. If you don't have a ministry, make sure you follow them. You have a ministry in your church, in your home, in the society, okay? All servants of God will inherit the new heaven and new earth. You write that down, new heaven and new earth. You write down Revelation chapter 21 and chapter 22. Now I come about present ministry. Ministry is by grace too. Being able to serve God is God's grace to you, so that you will receive what God promised you. Only those people who serve God can receive all this grace, all these good things, okay? Ministry is by grace. Who said that? I want you to turn to Ephesians chapter 3. Circle the word, verse 7. I became a servant of his gospel. Paul said to us that he is a servant of this gospel by the gifts of God's grace given me through the working of his power. Although I am less than the least of all God's people, this grace, being able to serve God, this grace was given me to preach to the Gentile and to make plain to everyone the administration of this ministry. Okay? So Paul said that being able to serve God is God's grace. Brother and sister, I want you to write that down. If Jesus' teaching, you write down Matthew chapter 25. Matthew chapter 25 divided into three parables. The first parable is the parable of a wise virgin and a foolish virgin. The second parable is a parable of talents. If you use your talent, use your gifts to serve God. And those people who serve God, Matthew 25, the second parable, you write down Luke chapter 19. You'll be rewarded with kingship. You're going to reign with Jesus. And third parable is a parable of judgment. When Jesus Christ comes back, he's going to judge you. He's going to ask you, what have you done? The thing that you've done to the very least of the blood of Jesus Christ, Jesus said, you've done it to me, and you will receive blessing. Now, I go back. Talk about ministry. Ministry by grace, when you get the ministry, when you get being a servant, you will have peace and love and faith from God and Jesus Christ. You're good to go. Present ministry for us, if you have a wife, you act like a godly husband as it is recorded. You write that down right beside here, as it is recorded in Ephesians chapter 5. Paul talked about how a husband should act in your own home. And as far as a wife, and they say that as a husband, you have to love your wife, and a wife, you have to submit to your husband. And we love one another, we submit one another. In your family, if you have a father and son, you have a mother and daughter, make sure that in your own home, you are obedient child to your father, to your mother, and give joy to them. And that's how you serve in your own home. And in your working place, make sure you did it according to Ephesians chapter 6. Don't just serve him in front of him. While he's not around, you serve him faithfully as if you serve the Lord. And that's how you get the blessing. And Paul said that that blessing, according to Ephesians, he will reward you. According to Colossians chapter 3, he will give you an inheritance. In your working home, in your working place, in your own home, you still can serve God. Okay? He's going to judge you. He's going to judge you according to what you have done. And then in your own church, how you love one another, and he's going to reward you accordingly. That is present ministry for us. I want to talk about present ministry for Paul, so that your eye open, okay? I want to read that to you first, and then I'll explain to you in the Bible. Present ministry for Paul. He was a chosen instrument to witness for our Lord Jesus Christ on earth before Gentile came. And that's what God called him to do. In the point number two, I want you to write that down. Acts chapter 9, verse 15 and 16. I read that to you. But the Lord said to Ananias, "Go. This man, Paul, is my chosen instrument to carry my name before the Gentile and before the Gentile king and before the people of Israel. I will show him how much he must suffer for my name." That is Paul's ministry. Because Paul was called by Jesus Christ to share the gospel before Gentile came. I want you to write that down, just like Daniel. God called Daniel to serve before Gentile king, before King Nebuchadnezzar, before King Nebuchadnezzar's son, and before King Nebuchadnezzar's grandson, three generations. After this kingdom was destroyed by Mede and Persia, and Daniel was able to serve the new kingdom. When you serve before Gentile king, they are violent. So God gonna empower Paul, empower Daniel with extra power in order to complete the task. I want you to write that down. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 5 and 6. Let's see what kind of extra power that God gave it to Paul and give it to Daniel, both in New Testament and Old Testament. I read that to you. Chapter 2, verse 5. God the Father make Daniel, make Paul alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgression. It is by grace you have saved. It is by grace you have been saved. And God raised Daniel and God raised Paul up with Christ and seated us with Christ in the heavenly realm in Christ Jesus. So in other words, in Paul's ministry, because he do a big task, a very important task, just like Daniel did an important task in front of King Nebuchadnezzar. King Nebuchadnezzar is a wicked king. You see that in chapter 1, all the way in chapter 4. And God disciplined him and changed him to become an ox and eat grass. And Daniel predicted that if you humble yourself in your suffering for the 7 years, you lift your eyes, look up to God the Father, who rule forever and ever, and God can restore your kingdom, restore your mind, restore your soul, and then you'll be king again. In the same way, when Paul preached before the Gentile king, all these Gentile kings mistreated Paul, but God gave Paul extra power. Just like what Paul said in chapter 1. I read that to you. Three things that Paul gets. Chapter 1, because he get it, he want you to get it too. Chapter 1, verse 15, "For this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and your love for all the same, you love one another, you serve God, that's good. I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayer. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you know something that people don't know, so that you may know him better. Verse 18, I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know, number one, the blessing, the hope to which he has called you. That's the glorious hope. Second, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints. Not only present inheritance and future inheritance. Not only future inheritance in the millennial kingdom, also future inheritance in the new heaven and new earth. He wants you to know that. If you do not have the spirit of wisdom and revelation, you don't know that. You don't even know what you get. But if you have the spirit of wisdom and revelation, you know Jesus Christ better. You know that as far as your future inheritance is concerned, it's a glorious inheritance in the same. It's divided into two parts. Number three, in verse 19, you may know that his incomparably great power for us. Right beside that great power, you write down chapter 2, verse 5 and 6. Because God seated you at his right hand. That kind of power that God gave it to Paul, God gave it to Peter, God gave it to Daniel. And his incomparably great power for us who believe, that power is like the working of his mighty strength, which God exerted in Christ Jesus when he raised Jesus Christ from the dead and seated Jesus Christ at his right hand in the heavenly realm. How God blessed Jesus Christ, and he blessed Paul, and he blessed Peter the same way. He blessed Daniel the same way, brother and sister. When Paul ended his writing in Ephesians chapter 6, he said, finally, be strong in the Lord. Be strong in his mighty power. And clothed with Jesus. Put on the full armor of God. Fight that good fight. If you equip yourself with this kind of weapon, be strong in the Lord, be strong in his mighty power, and put on the full armor of God and fight the good fight. When you fight the good fight, you will receive the same power that Jesus received. You will receive the same power that Paul received. You receive the same power Daniel received. Do you know that in Daniel chapter 4? When God blessed Daniel, shared the gospel to King Nebuchadnezzar, Nebuchadnezzar turned around to become Christian. And he write Daniel chapter 4. Tell all his subjects, all his people under his ruling, to believe in the God that Daniel believed. Now, I want to tell you more as far as future ministry is concerned. Future ministry for us, I say that one more time. If you do not have a present ministry, you have no future ministry. Alright? Make sure you find a place to serve in his church, in your own home, in your working place. Okay? Make sure you find a ministry. Future ministry for us all God's servants will serve God in the holy city and will reign with Jesus Christ forever and ever. And let me explain it to you. Turn to the Bible, Revelation first. Revelation chapter 21. Verse 22, I did not see a temple in the city. That city is New City of Jerusalem. Because the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. The city does not need the sun or the moon to shine on it. For the glory of God gives its light, and the Lamb is its lamb. the Lamb is the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ. Verse 24, the nation will walk by his light, and the kings of the earth will bring their glory, will bring their splendor into it. I want to circle the word, the kings. You write that down. The kings. Who are they? The kings is for all people who serve God. You write that down. All servants of God become king now. Okay? I want you to write that down. Verse 24, I read that to you again. The nations will walk by his light, and the kings of the earth will bring their splendor into the city. On no day will the gate ever be shut, for there will be no night there. Verse 26, the glory and honor of the nation will be brought into it. In other words, if you learn, I want you to write that down. Right now, when you serve God, you learn to give glory, honor, splendor to Jesus Christ. You don't steal his glory. With this kind of ministry, you'll be able to enter into the new heaven and new earth. In Revelation chapter 21 and 22, you become king. You're going to bring splendor, glory, honor, the fruit of your work, bring it into the city to honor God. Learn to do that. Don't steal his glory. Just like Psalm 115 verse 1. Not to us, O God, not to us. All the glory and honor and strength back to you. For you are worthy of our service. Learn to be humble. Don't use that blessing to enjoy your life. I mean what I say. If you want to be king, to be able to enter into the new heaven and new earth, make sure you bring glory, honor, splendor, the fruit of your hand back to God. And all these kings will do that. I keep on reading it. Verse 27. Nothing impure will ever enter it, nor will anyone who does what is shameful or deceitful, but only those whose names are written in the Lamb book of life. Who can enter into the kingdom of God? Who can enter into the new city? New heaven and new earth? Who? They are the Holy One who can enter. You write that down in verse 27. Only the Holy One can enter. When you write that down, Holy One, you turn back to Ephesians chapter 1. I read that to you. I want you to write that down. Chapter 1 verse 3. Praise be to God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realm. In the heavenly realm means Revelation 21 and 22. That is the heavenly realm. I read that again. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realm. When did he bless us? He blessed us before the creation of the world. He blessed us with every spiritual blessing in Christ Jesus. Verse 4. For God chose us in him before the creation of the world, circle the word, to be a holy and blameless in his sight. Right beside holy and blameless, you write that down. That is Revelation chapter 21, 27. For nothing impure will ever enter. God wants to make sure all his servants be able to enter. So that's why God chose us in Christ Jesus before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in His sight. I say that one more time. Before the creation of the world, before we were even born, before your parents even born, before He even made any human being, He chose you to be holy and blameless. And do you understand? He chose you to be holy so that you can enter into the new heaven and new earth. Does that make sense? So in the meantime, like King David, commit adultery like King David, being a murderer like Moses, being a murderer, right? But we confess our sins. We ask God for forgiveness. According to Psalm 32, verse 5, if we acknowledge our sin and confess it before Him and ask Him for forgiveness, He will forgive all our sins and cleanse all our iniquity, cleanse all our transgression, and we are good to go. We'll be able to enter into. What did I say to you, brother and sister? I say, King will enter into the city by bringing glory, splendor, and honor and give it to God, right? He didn't say servant. At that time, no more servant. They don't call them servant. They are all one. They are all kings. If you know, circle the word king. You write that. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. No eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has ever conceived. There's no more servant, no more people. They are all kings. They are the kings of the nation. They all reign forever and ever. As a father, if a father is a king, his son will be a king. God the Father is King of all kings. Jesus Christ in Revelation 17, Revelation 19, He's Lord of lords, King of all kings. You follow the very footstep of our Lord Jesus Christ, you become kings. And you're going to reign forever and ever. I just finished 21. I didn't even start Revelation 22. Go to 22 verse 1. Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, as clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb, down the middle of the great street of the city. On each side of the river stood the tree of life, bearing 12 crops of fruit, yielding its fruit every month, and the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations. Anyone who enters into it with sickness, you eat the tree, eat the leaf of the tree of life, you'll be healed right away. No longer will there be any curse. The throne of God and of the Lamb will be in the city, and His servant will serve Him. Circle the word. His servant will serve God. Make sure you serve God now. You learn how to serve God now. And then you continue to serve Him. And you become kings. And you can reign with Jesus Christ forever and ever. Verse 4. They will see His face, and His name will be on their forehead. There will be no more night. They will not need the light of the lamp or the light of the sun, for the Lord God will give them light. Circle the word, day. Circle the word, day. And link it that the word day, link it to verse 3. All His servants who serve Him. And they link it to chapter 21. Chapter 21, verse 24. The nation will walk by its light, and the kings of the earth will bring their splendor, glory, and honor into it. Verse 25, on no day Will its gate ever be shut? For there will be no light there. The glory and honor and splendor of the nation will be brought into it. You give glory to God. God says, you serve me. You're going to reign forever and ever with me. Don't be lazy. Does it make sense? We are all king. Only king can enter. And their name was written in the book of Lamb of God. No impurity can enter. We are pure now. Because he chose us before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless. And that's why he write the sixth chapter of Ephesians. Tell us how to live a godly life in our own home. How to live a godly life in our own working place. How to live a godly life in our own church, right? To love one another. You prepare yourself to serve God now, and you're going to serve God forever and ever. Is it good stuff? Is it good stuff? Is the book of Ephesians, is it good stuff? Moses? Excellent! He gave us all spiritual blessings in the heavenly realm. Wow. I finished it. I still have 7 minutes, right? Oh, man. And Jeffy, you know how long I've been praying for you? Give me 5, Jeffy. I'm very happy to see it. Father and sister, make sure in the church of God you find your own ministry. Ministry is by grace. Learn how to humble yourself and serve Him. Whatever the honor, splendor, and glory you get from Jesus Christ on earth, I give it back to God. And then you can continue to enter into the new city, new Jerusalem, the heavenly realm. Every time you enter into it, you bring honor, glory, and splendor to you. I know people will ask me the question, what kind of honor, what kind of glory, what kind of splendor that I bring into the new city? I want you to write that down. I want you to write that down. Psalm 147. Starting verse 1. Praise the Lord. How good it is to sing praise to our God. How pleasant and fitting to praise Him. How can people keep praising Him? Because He gets so much blessing. The Lord built up Jerusalem. He gathered the exile of Israel. He healed the brokenhearted and bind up their wound. And then God determined the number of the star and called each star by name. I want to circle the word. Each star by name. And then you write down Revelation. Revelation chapter 2. As long as you are not a loser, as long as you are overcomer, Revelation chapter 2 verse 26, to him who overcome and does my will to the end, what's the will of God? The will of God is to serve him with humility. I will give authority over the nation. He will rule them with an iron scepter. He will dash them to pieces like pottery. You write that down. When will it happen? In millennial kingdom. Just as I have received authority from my Father. Verse 28. You write that down. Verse 28 is new heaven and new earth. He will give him the morning star. Right beside the morning star. You write that. Psalm 147 verse 7. That morning star is by your name. If your name is Jeffrey Lamb, that star is going to be called Jeffrey Lamb. You're going to work on your property. The diamond, gold, everything is in there. You mine that place. The whole star belongs to you. You bring it into the city.
We still have a lot of work to do. No mind has seen, no ear has heard, no eye has seen, no mind has ever conceived what God has prepared for those who love Him. Who love Him is the one who serves. Everybody say it. We are all kings. Whether you be able to sit at His right hand now, just like Paul, to do the big task, to finish it, or you're going to sit with Him in the future. We will have, brother and sister, work out your salvation. Serve Him with humility. In conclusion, I say that one more time. Salvation of your soul and spirit is by grace through faith. Salvation of your body is in the second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, is also by grace. When you get a new body, the body won't die. You're going to inherit the inheritance forever and ever. I don't care how much blessing that your father left behind to you. According to Proverbs chapter 19, verse 14, houses and wealth are inherited from your parents. But you know what? You can only enjoy maybe 100 years. After that, you leave it to your children. Right? But once you get a new body, you live forever and ever, the inheritance, you receive it forever and ever. When you receive this kind of blessing, eternal blessing, you will have peace, you have grace, you have love, you have faith from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Is that good stuff? Is it really, really good? Are you excited? Right? Find a place to serve God. Does it make sense? Does it make sense, Johnny Walker? Makes sense. Our Heavenly Father, it makes a lot of sense. What Paul said is exactly what Jesus Christ said through Apostle John. And help us to remember that, and help us to serve you. Thank you, Jesus, chosen us before the creation of the world, chosen us to be holy and blameless, because no impurity can enter the new heaven and new earth. Now that we can enter, we give you thanks. It is all by grace, through faith. And we will have peace. We continue to have love from you. That's why people praise you all the days of their life. And I pray all this in the mighty name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.